Blog Talk Radio.
It is Missy for Six Sense Sisters.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, Dave.
Hello.
There you are. How are you?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
What's going on?
I'm real good. Just doing my thing.
Just doing a thing.
Living on the edge.
You're living fine. On the edge.
How we roll. Yeah, happy Sunday night. And it's getting chilly out here in New York. It's not like 175 degrees like it was before.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So winter is a-coming. And you know what that means. It's November. So what, Liza? What can we do?
We can
talk about what?
We can talk about Christmas.
Yay!
We
can.
So oh,
excited.
My friend. I know.
I know.
We have Hanukkah. We have Hanukkah coming up.
Yes.
We've got Hanukkah coming up. I've got the whole, you know, the list has been given. The
Ooh,
list has been given.
Spooky.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all good. Very, very good. Oh, that was, yeah. Somebody was trying to call my phone. And I really should change that.
Since, nice.
You know, that was from Halloween.
It's not Halloween anymore. Yeah, exactly.
No, it's over. It's over. So what's going on, my friend? How's your week?
Oh, my week was all right. It was pretty quiet. Not
mm-hmm.
much going on. At the beginning of the month, at the beginning of the week, Monday, I came home and I was just kind of feeling a little, just not feeling quite right. And I looked at my husband. I'm like, I just feel like just really just. It's something in my head. I didn't feel like I was getting a headache. I just felt like it was just this heaviness in my head. And I woke up Tuesday morning and I went to take a shower and I got out and I'm like, I'm not going to work. I'm going back to bed. And I had this huge just migraine. I mean, it was just took everything out of me. And I literally slept the entire day. I think I got up maybe two times to let the dog out. One to maybe go to the bathroom, but I slept. And that's what they kept telling me is like, you need to sleep, you need to rest, you need to relax, you need
right.
to take care of yourself because you've been going. You need to relax and you need to just chill. And at one point,
right.
it was really weird. At one point, I went to go pick up my phone and my phone started doing some wacky, crazy, you know, blinking and energy stuff. And they said, put that down. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I put it down and I went back to sleep. And so that's
right.
how my week started. It was, you know, it was very just, you know, and then I, you know, Wednesday was kind of busy for me. And then just the week,
mm-hmm.
the rest of the week was kind of slow. And then my sister and her girls came for a little visit on Saturday. Well, first,
nice.
Me and my son went and did some volunteering. We went to Art Valley Village, which was totally awesome. I really enjoyed it. We went and volunteered. I'll probably do that again.
I saw your picture.
I know. I had fun. I did. I really had fun. I really enjoyed the atmosphere and I enjoyed the people. And I think, you know, I'll spend another Saturday there, just my time.
Open
you know,
up.
Just 4 hours
Great.
Of my time. And that's awesome. But
exactly.
Yeah, so then, and then today we had our, you know, we had my healer's development circle that I have once a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's every third Sunday that I have. And we all get together, like-minded people, we all get together and we, you know, we have things that whatever go on, whatever's going on energetically, we talk about what's going on in each other's lives. We kind of, you know, ask, you know, what do you need from us? You know, what can we do for you? What, you know, just kind of releasing and just venting and just being around like-minded people. So that was
That's
very
great.
Cool. Yes.
Very cool. Well, how funny, because my week was fine, teaching and doing my thing. But, what's interesting is that yesterday, I, like you, my friend, got a horrible migraine. And I just want to take a minute before I forget, if not to forget, it's like in the back of my head 24/7. All the people and all the horrible things that are going on in Lebanon and Paris, and I'm holding all of those, and we are all holding everyone in our hearts, and it's really scary to see, and we just can only hope for peace, and just to know that even though we can't physically do something right at the second, we can send energy to them, healing energy. So if you can send your healing energy to those people in those countries that are having horrible, horrible, horrible times, please do so. And trust me, they will feel it. They will completely feel it.
Send them love and light.
Anyway,
send them love and light.
Love and light. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But my week was fine. Everything was groovy. I'm just so excited about our guest tonight. I can't stand
it. Oh, my God.
I love her.
I heard her voice, like you were talking to her on the phone, and I'm like, oh, my good Lord, I miss that woman's voice.
That
sexy coughing voice, I guess, because she's got a cold. So everybody just bear with her. She's got a little bit of a little sniffly and a little cold, but she's got a sexy voice.
It's all good. It's all good. So before I bring her on, our guest, everyone, Lorena's lost her ever-loving mind. But that's okay. We love her anyway. Before we bring on our guest tonight, our guest is Lorraine Rowe. She is founder of Psychic Housewives, which is a community of men and women of like mind.
We do have dudes.
And we have dudes, but that's okay. We let them in. And of like minds and helping each other out with the different gifts that they have and, just looking out for one another and helping each other get through the day, and she completely promotes that being psychic is normal. And it is. And sometimes you wake up psychic. And I'm sure she'll be happy to talk about that and other groovy things. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring on Miss Lorraine Rowe. Hold on one second.
Woohoo! Yay!
I think.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, darling.
Hello.
Welcome, Lorraine. Hello.
Great
hello,
to be
darling.
Here with you guys. Yeah, hello.
Yay.
Thank you so much for being with us tonight. We really, really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Well, thank you. I'm happy. I'm very happy to be here. It's awesome. So,
yay.
Yay us.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, I was listening, and it sounds like migraines and naps are the order of the day or something.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love napping. Sorry. I just do. I can't help it.
Well, I
so,
think we're feeling
how are you, Lorraine?
Energies and stuff. I'm doing really okay.
You're doing really okay.
I would tell you I'm great, but I'm kind of struggling with a bit of a cold. But, I mean, life is good. Life is good. I'm excited. I'm excited to finally have the latest book launched. That's awesome. And I don't know. Life seems like it's on a good trajectory right now. And I'm also just excited that people let's just talk about psychic stuff for a minute. I just think pretty excited that people who are everyday people are just kind of saying, this stuff's real. I've had these experiences and I want to explore it more. And I think, if things are really getting more and more evolved for people really quickly. So and you both have had, you both are psychic. So you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. You betcha, baby.
I'm what? Wait, what?
What?
Huh? I'm
what? Oh, my God.
I talked to who?
I'm psychotic? What? What?
Well, there's that.
Hey, shush.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's the oldest joke that I know especially for the Psychic Housewives book. When I tell non-believers or people who are, doubtful. They're always like, you mean the Psychotic Housewives Handbook? And I'm like,
So let's talk about, hey, Lorraine, will you tell us briefly, if you will, you know, the day you became psychic? You know,
the day I became, well, this is my story about that. I think it happened in instances over my lifetime, but I wouldn't have called it psychic. But when it came on full bore, I was 39 years old, sitting in my living room at my desk, and a dead grandma showed up to me. And that kind of opened this, it blew open the door. And I think that happened as a result of being around some other pretty talented psychics and also kind of slowing down. It was a point in my life where I'd started doing yoga and quit news. I was a news reporter for 15 years. And when I kind of just let that all fall away for a while, the whole door blew open. And a grandmother appeared to me, and I write about it in the Psychic Housewives Handbook and a little bit in the new book, but that basically gave me very specific details about a young man that she said was her grandson. And I came to figure out that it was actually a dear friend's husband who also happened to be a medical doctor. So, needless to say, I wasn't like running to the phone to call him, okay? But eventually I connected with him, and it was true. Everything she'd shown me, including he was wearing a striped shirt on a balcony, on a porch with peaches in a bucket. And it turned out they had spent a lot of time with their grandma in a peach orchard when he was young. And he had an exact picture to that effect of the T-shirt, being in the T-shirt on the porch. So,
oh, my gosh. That's awesome.
Yeah, no,
did that freak you out?
Completely freaked me out.
No.
It really did. I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, joy, joy, happy, happy. Because I was producing a show, a pilot for the Bodines, Echo and Michael Bodine, who live in Minnesota. And I really believed that they were psychic eventually, ultimately, but I wasn't that interested. You know, I was like, yeah, they'd say, hey, do you want to tell me, you know, they'd say, do you want a reading? I'd be like, no, do not give me a reading. I resisted the whole reading thing for a long time with them. But
yeah.
I was fortunate enough to be willing to listen to some of the things they had to say. And long story short, they were very supportive when I suddenly became psychic, because essentially they were like, look, you can accept this gift or you can decline the gift. You don't have to say yes.
Exactly.
And I don't know if people feel like that sometimes, that they have a choice. But I feel we do have a choice. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel we do. Yes.
Do you?
Yeah, most definitely.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
totally.
You know, you have to trust, you know, you have to have that trust and, at, you know, and understanding and you know, it, you have to tune into it, you know, I mean, and you can block it if you want to. And, you know, I mean, I blocked it for many, many years. I mean, I was 14 when I was told that it was bad and it was evil and I needed to get rid of it. And it was like, how do you get rid of it? You can't get rid of it, you know? And so I just closed down for so many years. And then it slowly started trickling out and trickling out and trickling out. And I'm like, I need to open these floodgates because this is ridiculous. I can't live like this anymore.
Yeah.
And it was like, boom, you know?
Yeah.
Well, that's the story of a lot of people, I think. They suppress it at some age in
totally.
Their life. It's not acceptable. And so they just say, okay, I'm not doing this. And then they kind of come back to the fold when it's like the dam's going to burst and they just can't deny anymore that it's real.
Yep.
Oh, totally. I mean, growing up with my, on my mom's side of the family, I had a bunch of great aunts, and they would know things, you know, you'd want to know how they knew things, but they would never really talk about it. And after one of my aunts passed away, my great aunts passed away, I was talking to her daughter on Facebook, and we were, you know, chit-chatting, and I said, remember that candlestick thing with the crystals that your mom had in the dining room, blah, 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 blah. I said, she's showing that to me. And she took a selfie of herself and it was sitting behind her where she was sitting at the computer. So that was the way that Carrie was telling me that she was watching her, and she kept pointing her finger at my cousin. And it was because, as she goes, Carol's like, cousin, she lit up a cigarette. So she was telling her not to smoke anymore. But I have other cousins who you know, they have dreams of our family. You know, they torment us. They come back and tell us a bunch of stuff. So, yeah.
Right.
My mom sees movies in her head. It's just, it's all really, it's all there, but no one ever really talked about it. Like, or they never said it was evil. Do you know what I mean? It was
right,
just like,
right.
Wasn't discussed, which is interesting.
Right. So you know,
they didn't make
I'm
bad, but they said that it just didn't come up. Right.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, but I heard.
I mean, and I'm, you know, I'm pretty excited now too because my sister is finally opening up and coming into her own, and it's just amazing to see her, you know, transformation and her eyes light up. And like last night, she stayed over with the girls, and she said that she opened her eyes really, really. It was so super early in the morning. It was probably about 2:33 in the morning, and she opened her eyes and she saw somebody hovering over one of her daughters, and she just didn't think anything of it and wasn't really thinking. I'm like, well, first of all, my whole house is, you know, portal for all kinds of fun stuff, but you know, she said she's like, I didn't know. I just saw this thing standing there. And I said, oh, it was grandma. I'm like, she always comes and visits. It's grandma. And she's like, you know, I was kind of wondering if it was her.
Right. Right. Good old grandma.
Yeah,
grandma.
they always show up, don't
in.
They?
Yes.
Hey, Lorraine, did this run in your family as well? Going back and
I think it did. I mean, I know for my maternal grandmother that she intuitively would know stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We had a very strong connection, and then she would know, and people in her family were in trouble, she would know. And then my mom, I kind of tell this story that my mom had suffered from mental illness and also some addictions. And I think that in her time in life in the 50s and 60s, this kind of stuff was just completely not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's interesting because going back into the 30s, there were like 15 million spiritualists, you know, in the country, and people accepted it. And now it's gotten to a time where people, you know, it's re-evolving again. But
right.
In the 50s and 60s, not so much. And I did not know her well enough to completely understand her story there. But I wouldn't tell you I come from a line of psychics because that's not right.
Right.
My dad has had some psychic experiences. He had a woman that he was connected to come to him crying. And this was before telephones, and he got a telegram the next day saying that she had been killed in a crash. So, you know, and I actually asked him to share that story with me, and he did, and I put it in the book. But, you know, that kind of stuff. But, you know, nothing really prepared me to one day say, hey, I'm psychic, you know. Just nothing prepared me for that. Absolutely not.
Cool.
So then you know, kind of just go into how you kind of started the whole Psychic Housewives group, and how did that come about?
Well, I guess I was divinely guided to gather people around me. I think people found me because I was on Echo's referral list,
mm-hmm.
and I started gathering clients that were a lot like me. They were women either working or not working but had kids or, you know, what have you, roughly my age, who were having these experiences. And maybe they'd want a reading about their life, but they'd also want some guidance about what do I do if I'm psychic. And that led me to start a group on Yahoo called Psychic Housewives. It just kind of popped into my head. I guess at the time, Desperate Housewives was really popular, and I thought it would be kind of funny because,
that is,
you know,
funny.
Right, because Psychic Housewives, it's kind of kitsch in the sense that, you know, we're all pretty normal people. We're not in our aprons, you know, circa 1950, but.
Right, right.
Yeah, don't call me June, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, okay,
June,
thank you.
June Cleaver,
thank
I
you.
Won't.
Thank you, you're with
then
me.
Somehow when they reorganized, I had a group on Facebook, but when they revamped Facebook, suddenly they kind of advertised Psychic Housewives, and I think that I didn't do that, but they did. Like Facebook somehow said, oh, you may be interested in this group, and I think people found it that way, and then it just started to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we've kind of done, you know, we've done some seminars, we've done some retreats, we've done a couple of things in Minnesota, and we've done some stuff up north by Mount Shasta. And
cool.
And I really like that, physically getting together.
Yes.
I think that make, don't you think, because I know, Liza, you've been there for some of that. I mean, it's
yep.
nice. Yeah. So,
I want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great getting all everybody together and, you know, seeing some of the people. I mean, we're in Minnesota. I mean, so I do see, you know, quite a few other people that belong to the group, you know, Tina and Gina and you know, a few of them. And, but it's so nice to, you know, get together with ones that you don't ever see. Like, you know, like I talked about last week, you know, where I went, took a trip down to Texas, and on my way, I stopped and visited two psychic housewives and got, you know, stayed with
right.
them and hung out with them. And it was like, awesome. It was, you know, I mean, it's a whole sisterhood of women and dudes, a couple dudes. So, you know,
yeah,
it's
yeah.
awesome.
And I got to
and
see
like
Missy in New
story.
York too.
Yeah.
Ooh,
it was
yes.
awesome. Yeah,
that was
it's
really
Lorraine
great.
Quinn and I. We had a little, her son and I, and we had a little Brookie. It was good. It was really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
really
fun.
Nice. Yeah.
So,
we need to come
I mean,
back. Now.
I think, well, and I just want to say, I think that my experience is the more you're with people who are psychic, I think online works. I do. I think doing the classes
mm-hmm.
or doing the groups or whatever, we see some pretty remarkable shifts. But then I also think my experience has been physically being with people who are psychic, especially people
yep.
who are more advanced than I am, has caused
yep.
me to become even more open and, I guess, more with the flow about it.
Mm-hmm. You get more elevated,
right.
you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I believe that's a phenomenon. I really do. And so,
yeah.
that's interesting.
Anyway, that's, yeah. And plus, we're fun. You know, we have fun. We make jokes.
There's
and we,
so much
you know,
fun.
It's pretty funny.
Smoke cigars and draw rad motorcycles.
Yes. Yes.
Absolutely.
I totally get behind secular living, you know. It's like you got to do some of that. You can't just feel.
right. Right.
You know. Hey,
oh,
I'm
totally.
Just going to.
Hey, Lorraine, I want to dive into your book, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about
to me.
That.
Tell us about your other books. Let's talk about the other books that you have out there. So whoever's listening, which I'm sure thousands are listening right now.
Of course they are.
So we know, yeah. So they know, you know,
hello,
where to look.
Hello, awesome.
Duh. And Lorraine's on with us. Hello. where they can look for your books and what they are, and then you can talk as much as you want for the rest of the night about your new book, because it's awesome.
Oh, great. Well, awesome. Thank you. Well, the books that we have out are, one that I have out is, one is the Psychic Housewives Handbook, which is through Hampton Roads Publishing, and it's available online, really. I don't see it at bookstores much, because it came out in 2009, so, and plus there are no bookstores, but that's another point. But, you know, and then there's an Oracle deck called the Audacious Action Angels. I call it the AAA Oracle deck, and I love that deck. I wrote that.
Me too.
Helen Michaels. Yeah,
I do too.
Thank you. I really feel that both those things are very divinely inspired. But the Psychic Housewives Handbook is all about really practical advice or experience, strength, and hope, I guess, for going through your day-to-day living being psychic. And then
mm-hmm.
setting boundaries and doing self-care. And no one talks about self-care anymore. I mean, very few women hold a space for self-care. And that's one thing that I feel that book does very strongly as you develop your psychic abilities.
That's true. I
right?
learned self-care
then,
through you, to be honest.
Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
I'm glad. And I think that was really, I mean, I've gotten some experience from that, but I've also learned that through spirit. I really have. And then the deck is really, really addresses the idea of self-care and following spirit's guidance, but it does it with these great illustrations that basically Helen Michaels, the artist and friend of mine, channeled one a day, you know, for like 40 days
wow.
in a row. She literally channeled
wow.
them. And then she stuffed them under her bed, and I finally wrote up some samples and sent them out, and the first people we sent it to was Schiffer Publishing, and they picked it up. So I really would invite anybody who's in the, on the journey, whether it's beginning, middle, or further down the path, to check out the deck, because I think it's a really different deck.
It is. It's very unique.
So, and then the book that I have now is called The Psychic Survival Manual. And I had done a very light version of it and submitted it to a pretty big publisher, and it was accepted. But I decided at ultimately through the process, it was about a year-long process, that a lot of the humor was being removed in the editing process. And I just decided I would take a run at self-publishing. But understanding that I have copy, I mean, I pay my own money to do copy editing before I ever submit anything. So I spend a lot of money to just get it right. And now, you know, I'm not saying there aren't typos or a few errors, but I'm telling you, I you know, I'm not like, oh, a flimsy self-publisher person. And so for the first time ever, I'm kind of got this book out, and I'm really excited because I feel like it's really a book that is for reluctant psychics. It's yes, it's, you could say it's for beginning psychics, but it's also for psychics who are a little bit further along but are reluctant to really go all the way with spirit and guidance and psychic abilities. And so, you know, we cover why would you resist, and we've just talked about some of that. You know, oh, people might think I'm crazy. Oh, the fundamentalists will, you know, annihilate me. And so there, we kind of, I go point by point, like, why would you resist? You know, what are some resources? How do you get help? How do you do self-care? And that's a lot of, and I've done a lot of research on Ouija boards, getting kind of both sides of that story. Because I know we've heard one side of the story for so many years as psychics, like, do not even touch a Ouija board, which I kind of concur with. But I actually talked to a guy who owns several hundred Ouija boards, and he doesn't think there's anything to it. And I just got his side of the argument as well. But it's kind of interesting to just, because that's probably one of the number one questions people have for me is, should I have one in my house?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Do you?
Yeah. And then, huh?
Do you?
Do you?
No.
Do you?
But I did make, I have to, I have to confess and tell that I did make the mistake of getting a Ouija board for my daughter years ago, that I just felt like I made a mistake getting it. I didn't have, you know, the devil come walk through the house. It just was,
yeah,
you know, it went away. And I can't remember how I disposed of it. There is a particular way to dispose of it, which is not burning it. And and so, but it's gone out of our house now. And also teenagers and the paranormal can be really explosive, because teenagers are wide open and the other side.
Yes, they are.
So that's one of the topics that I address in the book is about, you know, and Lorraine and Ed Warren, I'm very fascinated by the work that they've done, and I talk about some of the work that they've done and some of the stuff I've read up, but, you know, about how to really address some topics of dark energy and protecting yourself and doing kind of that energetic, having energetic hygiene, good hygiene.
Oh, that's right. Good. I like that, energetic hygiene. That's awesome.
Yes.
Well, and I guess the last thing I want to say for somebody who might be listening who's new to the whole topic or is reluctant is, I think when you deny the existence of the other side and the other realms and the energetic realms, I think you're leaving yourself a little bit unprotected, because you're not getting real about what might be affecting you or impacting you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, right? And so you're saying, oh, there's no such thing as bad energy. Well, if you're saying that to yourself over and over again, and yet you're getting sick or you feel really bad at a certain place or a certain person's house, you may just be a little bit in denial there, you know? So that's kind of my point is, accepting it and exploring it is a much better position than completely denying and shutting it down.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, because it'll completely backfire on you, I think.
Yes, it will.
I think. Mm-hmm. I think.
You know?
Or just keeps bombarding you and just keeps pushing at you and egging at you and egging at you, and you just get to the point where it's just like, oh, my God! you know. Yeah.
But
stop
exactly.
It.
And then you're going to feel it in your body, though. You know, mm-hmm. all of those things that we hold, we're holding in our body. So you're going to have a lot of, you know, dis-ease, if you will, with your muscles and with your whatever, wherever you're holding or holding untruths or truths that you don't want to face and blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, you know. So
precisely.
Yep. Precisely. Or precisely.
Precisely.
Precisely, darling. Well, in regards to, you know, you talk about in your book about the Clairs, which I love the title of that section. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know Claire.
I love the Clairs.
If you don't know Claire, let's talk about her. There's a lot.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, you talk about, you know, clairvoyant, clairsentient. The Clairs meaning how you receive messages. And, you know, we've mentioned before on our show that we do receive them many different ways. And my little thing is I love to know how people see, hear, smell, taste spirit. How does it come to them? And do they find out if it's the same every time? And so, Lorraine, I ask you, how do you see spirit?
Well, I guess... In the beginning, I had all the Clairs.
Mm-hmm.
I got steamrolled with Clairs because I could get it all. Now, as I've evolved, I mean, from the very day that the gates opened wide open, I think it's been about 13 years now, maybe 14 years. Now, it changes. It flexes. Sometimes I'll hear it. Sometimes I'll see it. I don't always, interestingly enough, go in with all my senses humming.
Right.
If I'm doing a reading, I won't guarantee that it's going to be clairaudient, meaning clear hearing, or clairsentient, meaning sensing it. But I do feel that, you know, and for me, I can have all of them happen at once. If let's say the client's really receptive to the reading, that helps create a portal. And I don't know if you guys find this to be true or not. But
I am so exactly, yes, right on, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I had a client the other, I don't know, somebody who I had known years ago, and wonderful person, and just very receptive to the reading. Didn't know anything about anything in his past except when I knew him, this person in high school. And it just came in. Like, no, I saw it. I could smell it. I could taste it. I mean, there was a car accident. I could see what happened. It was, you know, the person, I could see their personality. And then sometimes, like I've had other times when it just doesn't come in that way. Maybe I'll get a little thing here and a little thing there, and not, you know, it's not like Cascade Falls. And when I'm out in public, I tend to just not even want to know anymore. I don't go seeking the way I used to information about people in my environment because I just have to live my real life. So, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I tell my guides or my angels, I believe we, the spiritualist church believes that we need to have gatekeepers. And so, I have two gatekeepers, and I will say, depending on my day or situation, you know, open the gate or don't open the gate, depending on what I need to know. And,
yep.
I find it to be helpful, and if I'm about to do a professional reading, I'll say, show me the gate. And if the gate's wide open, I know where all systems go. If the gate's open a little bit, that message to me is, we're open, but it may be just a very tight, short reading. And
interesting.
So I think, you know, with all the information that does come in, I think that it can be pretty – I think for people, as they develop, it can be pretty well-rounded, but not everybody gets all the clairs. But it doesn't mean you're less psychic. It just means you're specializing in, or you're gifted in one area maybe more than another area.
Yep.
Exactly.
I mean, some, you know, I mean, sometimes clairvoyance for people can be so much more intense than clairvoyance. clairaudience, you know, or clairsentience, you know, I mean, it's like, and yeah, like you said, well, that's what they specialize in, and that's what their strongest suit is. So yeah, it never, ever don't, whoever's listening out there, don't think that you're ever less psychic or less, you know, capable of receiving information if you don't have all the clairs.
Exactly. One of the things that I know for me is that some people can hold like a set of keys and get a message. That's where I have a hard time doing it. So I know that that's not my strong suit. You know, so what I can do, I have other things. I have the smell. I have, you know, they don't stop talking. You know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But the whole holding an object, see, that doesn't speak to me. So that's not, you know, my thing.
That's happened to me a couple times, quite often as, yeah, some other people. But, I mean, mine is like I have, you know, one of my strong ones is, you know, sense of smell. It's like, oh, my good Lord. I mean, that's how they give me messages sometimes as a sense of, you know, as a certain smell. So that I know that they're around. And I've always had a very, very strong sense of smell just in general my entire life. And I never understood why can I smell the things that I'm smelling and nobody else can smell them.
And that is a big one. I think people easily dismiss that when you smell, you know, a cigarette or a cigar or grandma's perfume, that it's like nothing, you know, and that I think that's a very strong, you know, ability for some people that is very powerful and it's very affirming.
It is it can be very intense for me sometimes. I mean, wasn't even doing a reading. I had walked in and I was talking to a coworker and I kept smelling dirt. I mean, like hands in the dirt, sticking them in my face. And I'm like, why do I smell this smell of this dirt? You know, well, I mean, it turned out it was, you know, somebody, you know, a relative, you know, saying, hey, this is me, I'm here. And so it kind of caught me off guard because I'm like, well, you know, why am I smelling this dirt? And I'd asked her later, I said, you know, because I went back and I sat down and I went back and I asked her, I'm like, what did he do for a living? Was he a farmer? Sure enough, he was a farmer.
See, but that's, you got to the same answer. You just did it in that way, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I remember coming out of the shower once and I all of a sudden I smelled my grandfather. You know, it was that old, he used to wear Old Spice. I was like, oh, hi. That's exactly what I said. I was like, oh, hi, thanks for stopping by.
But, you know, I mean, mine too. I mean, my other strong one is the clairaudience. I mean, because I'm a medium. So, I mean, I'm hearing sounds and words all the time. And, you know, I mean, sometimes it's so loud, it's like, oh, my God, how do I shut this off?
Right. Well, and then other thing that, I mean, the spiritualists believe this and that there's evidential mediumship, that you can get messages that have evidence tied to it that the person goes, okay, that's an absolute, I can affirm that. Now, if you have somebody who's very skeptical or a complete non-believer, they may just they're looking for the big lightning bolt, which I understand, but there's also just spirit is simple. I mean, spirit it conserves energy, so they will give the person the best they can give them on a very short leash, you know, order. And I know I just saw, I talked about this in the Psychic Housewives group, but I saw Echo Bodine and another medium, Thomas John, who I've seen and I've been around some of the best mediums ever, but these two blew my socks off. I think Thomas John was a 99% absolute correct rate. And he came to me and he got by name, he got my mother and my deceased ex-mother-in-law. And he also described two other people in my family, no questions asked. And that's helpful for people because even if there's not a message associated with it, it tells them, it affirms to them that life goes on.
Right.
So I think it just depends on, you know, whatever you're getting, I think it's really important if you're new to this or if you're reluctant to be around some like-minded people so you get supported.
Yep.
Well, and that's, I was just going to add, you know, it's really interesting because once this, you know, happens and you have those who will doubt and who will not believe you, and it's very lonely, and you talk about that in your book, dealing with the loneliness, but then finding the camaraderie with other groups. And, you know, when this started to happen to me, I took a couple classes with Echo, and then it was recommended to me by Lee Hopkins, who is another psychic. She said, you should check out Psychic Housewives. She goes, I think they're right up your alley. And, well, here I am, people.
Yeah.
Here you are.
And I was like, yeah, these are my peeps. And, you know, and that's how I feel. So I feel comfortable. And, you know, the most important thing is to find the group that works for you. Exactly. But it's the whole don't let yourself when you're feeling that alone, and, you know, people are going to say, yeah, right, sure, you're psychic, blah, blah, blah. It's because they're afraid of their own, either A, oh God, could this happen to me? B, they just don't want to deal. They're afraid to even think about it because, oh my gosh, it's outside of the box. Ooh, scary.
Right.
You know, and just acceptance. A lot of people have a hard time accepting something different.
Yes.
Or when you tell them that, you know, that you are, and they're like, oh, well, what am I thinking? You know, I just love that one. It's like, how would I know what you're thinking? That's an invasion of your privacy. You know, I'm only reading the energy around you, and I'm only telling you what I'm being told by my guides and my angels, you know, or your guides and your angels. I'm only being told by whoever. You know, I don't know what's going on, what you're thinking in your head. I just love that one.
Yeah.
Well, it can be a form of discrimination, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just can be.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And they're basically calling you a liar to your face without even an apology for that. You know, because they don't believe. So why would they believe that you are? And at some point, I guess, I don't know if I can't even say if I've stopped taking that personally or not. I do have a friend who's a medium who says the more you accept it for yourself and within yourself, the less you get confronted with outside sources that say you're a liar or something. And, you know, and I've kind of found that to be true, but not, you know, I'm still experimenting with that.
Right. Now, I was going to ask you a question. One of my favorite things that we did, and this is completely different topic altogether, that we did within our Psychic Housewives class was walking the labyrinth. And I know you touched upon it in the new book and the other books. And what is it about a labyrinth for you, Lorraine, that makes it so magical? That's a really random question. I know.
It's a great question, you know, because part of my, I guess, my philosophy or my actual action in the world, I participate in 12-step programs. I participate and I exercise. I do these things that are actually, you have action steps associated with them. And part of it is that when you take an action that is energetic, with an energetic intention, you create a change or a difference. I do believe in positive thinking. I do believe in setting intentions. But I think when we, because we're human and we're physical creatures as well as spiritual, when we take a physical action, it changes things. And the labyrinth has been around for, you know, thousands of years. And the idea of the labyrinth is walking into the heart of the matter and walking back out. So you're walking back in. And as you go in, you're shedding what isn't really you. And then when you get to the center of it, you're at the center of divine. It's more of an integration. And then when you walk back out, you walk out basically a new person. And the stories I've heard about people walking labyrinths and what happens after that are pretty crazy. I mean, really, right associated with within days of walking the labyrinth or hours, they have transformations, or they have miracles happen. And
right.
And you know, I think that the symbolism of, rather than a maze, but a labyrinth, even though in the myth is that there was Ariadne left a golden thread, you know. So, but the idea of the labyrinth is that you don't get lost in the labyrinth, that you know where you're going and you come back out safely. And that's also kind of the divine journey, right? I mean, if we believe that we really are psychic and we're going to follow spirit, we're taking a labyrinth into the heart of darkness, right? But we know we can come back out safely.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That is true. And I love... labyrinths to me are so peaceful, and so I don't know, they're just it's all good. That's all I'm saying.
Now there's something very important about them. I think it has a lot to do too with divine feminine. I really do. I think that allowing vulnerability to happen, allowing yourself to embody spirit, and
right,
you know, I want to say something else about the clairs, which. Empathy, some people say it's clair empathy. Some people say that you're an empath. But I have physically had physical circumstances, not only just in my body, but with my cars and my phones, echo something else that is going on that have been exactly identical to, like, I was about to do a reading for a person, and I got into a little fender bender. I ended up pulling over on a street that was the exact name of the street where this person lived. And I'm telling you, like, I think we can physically embody aspects that are, you know, of someone else's experience or personality. Because interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not up to speed on these topics, you're like, what the hell? You know?
Right.
What just happened? So...
I mean, I remember the first time that I was just kind of opening up, and I was sitting at a stoplight, and I got this overwhelming sense to start crying. And then all of a sudden I got really angry. And then all of a sudden I was really happy. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And it was all these cars around me. It was from all the people in all these cars around me. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is not my stuff.
Yes.
But to realize, to actually... Exactly. It's like, that's not me.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I can't go to malls.
No. Me either.
Too much.
No.
Too much.
Mm-hmm. It's too much.
It is too much.
Especially
the Mall
shopping.
Of America. Ugh.
Oh, God, no.
Yes, Mall of America is horrible. But, you know, what I do is I take, I bless pennies, and I go and I take, go there, and there's a fountain on every level at the Mall of America, and I go and I put pennies in the, bless the pennies, send love and light, put them in the fountain.
Nice.
Every time I go,
I
actually learned that from another friend of mine. He used to do it, and he doesn't live in the state anymore. And I'm like, that's a really good idea. So every time I go there, I have a handful of pennies, and I just go and, you know, put love and light in these fountains, and hopefully, you know, it changes the energy a little bit, you know, because it's so,
And if you can't find Liza, just listen for the jingle, because you'll be able to hear her. So, you know, have to change.
You're funny.
Jingle, jingle. Yeah, no, it's true. Well, you know, and also that leads me right into the next thing is that, you know, dealing with difficult people in difficult situations, and how do we protect ourselves in doing that? You know, those energy vampires. Like, to me, the mall is an energy vampire all by its big self.
Yes.
Lorraine.
Well, I think that, you know, I used to try to play it really safe with my energy. Like, I kind of am a warrior, I guess, because of my background. I mean, the way I was brought up and being a reporter caused me to be kind of a hard ass. But I've kind of evolved away from some of that warrior posturing. But I do say, yes, there's energy vampires. If you're with somebody who, and you spend time with them and you feel less energized in that relationship or drained by that relationship, there's either one of two things. You're either an extreme introvert and you're not energized by people, so you need to take a break, or you're with somebody who's draining you. And if you're with somebody who's draining you, that's another, the question becomes, are you intimate with this person or is it a stranger at the mall? And if it's a stranger at the mall, then it's time to say, well, I need to probably back away, regroup, go into nature, get quiet. For me, for most of my clients, going into nature is a huge, it fires you back up. And I know, in the Midwest and the East Coast, it's not always the easiest thing to do in the winter. But
go hug a tree. Yeah.
Yeah, go hug a tree. But that being said, I think if it's somebody who you're trying to involve, you have to stay engaged with. Let's say it's a boss or it's a coworker or, you know, someone in your family. I believe you can sit in meditation and have a soul-to-soul talk and just say, you show me what you're trying to say. And have see what gives. If you're psychic at all, they will present, you know, and they'll probably be in a symbolic fashion. And, you know, maybe they'll come up and they'll be like, they'll have ropes around them or something. And it'll mean, oh, you're all tangled up or you feel tied up, you know. And so what is it that, how can we work this out? What do you need from me? And what do I need? You know, here's what I need from you. And you'll be surprised, but that, I don't know if you guys have tried that exercise, but it actually can resolve things within days of doing that exercise.
Yeah.
Because we're all souls, you know, we're all souls here, and we're communicating even when we're not physically together. So that's, but now that all being said, one of the big tripping points of early newbie psychics is we try to fix and advise everyone. So our, you know, our reluctant, you know, our unsuspecting spouse or our unsuspecting child will go, we have psychic information that you should blah, 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 you know. And I totally raised my hand, guilty. I've kind of more matured. I mean, doing that, I really have. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that whole I'm going to fix you thing, now that's a way of reverse vampiring because you're basically trying to control and manage this person through spirit's message.
Right.
That's not your job. It's just not your job. If you're asked, maybe. But even then, I think in intimate relationships, you have to be really careful about your use of psychic information.
Yep.
Cool.
I agree.
Absolutely. But you know, like you said, when you're a newbie psychic or a newbie healer, you're gonna have you got to be careful for burnout. You know, if you're gonna keep going and going and telling people, oh my God, let me help you, watch out. Burnout will happen.
Yeah,
you know,
burnout happens. It does.
Happens,
and it shows up. I mean, it just shows up with people in there. It shows up in their physical appearance, it shows up in the chaos in their life, and it shows up in their exhaustion levels. And it happens, and I mean, it's almost like a bad joke. Sometimes the only teacher you have is experience, no matter what somebody tells you. And I know when I was pregnant with my youngest, I was super psychic, and I think I was especially psychic because I was new to it and I was pregnant, and I was like, it was killer, okay? But I mean, I just went and went and went, and then I started having complications with my pregnancy, and I literally had to have two girlfriends just say, knock it off, and they kind of interrupted me, and I slowed down, because, it was like, I'm not the savior, you know, I'm not the chosen one, I'm just a messenger, just remembering, people have their own angel teams, and they get their own messages.
Exactly. So. Yeah. And just to, you know, and also with Lorraine's books, especially the first one, if you ever have a chance on Facebook, she will offer, I'm talking like you're not here, she'll offer, you know, when Lorraine was with us, she will offer the Psychic Housewives course. It's a class which you can take. And there's some of us, we've mentioned in the past, some of us around here, who, like Liza and myself, who can teach it because we're certified. And certifiable. And but it's a great way, in a fun way to open up the gifts that you have. And everyone has them, I think.
Yes, they do.
You know?
Well, I think so, too. I would love it. I mean, my dream or my vision is for people to just move along here and keep teaching it, and whether it's in person or online, because that to me, the online classes are where a lot of the magic happens, because we just take the principles out in the world, we practice it, but we also make great friends, you know?
Yeah.
So
yes,
it ends up being really magical. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome. Hey, Lorraine, if you're up for it, I'm going to see if anyone wants to call and ask any questions. Are you up for that?
Yeah, sure.
Awesome.
Cool.
Well, everybody, if you would like to call in and ask Lorraine some questions, because she's a very knowledgeable human, you may call us at 773-897-6118. Once again, it's 773-897-6118. And while we wait for anyone to call in, Lorraine, tell us what's going on in the next month, where you're going to be, and are you promoting your book anywhere? What are you going to be doing?
Yeah, I'm just...
What
I'm
you
here.
Doing?
I'm at my house. So come
Excellent.
See me. No, I'm not
Fantastic.
Doing any big shakes for the next month because I've got holidays and I'm slightly losing my mind. Although I am going to have, sometime in December, I'm actually having a sort of book launch in South Pass, but I'm not set up for it to tell you the date yet, but I will let you guys know. And
okay.
And then in January, I'm doing an actual book launch in person, and we're going to have, you know, readings and book signings and stuff, and it'll be fun.
Are
and
you
going
to come to Minnesota?
My dream is to get on my motorcycle and just have some stuff in my backpack and just stop in every state and just do it
that way.
That
would be awesome.
Wouldn't that be great?
That sounds good. I know people in low places. I'm good.
I love the fact that everybody's from all over the place. But in terms of actually contacting me and events, I always post it. I do post on psychichousewives.com about where we're going or what I'm doing, and also when we do retreats, which is so powerful. So if people want more information, that's a good place to find it.
Absolutely. And are you doing readings, right? I mean, are you still doing readings?
I am.
Because I know you're really, really busy. So.
Yeah, I am. I'm doing readings, and I do that part and parcel with the rest of my life. I am focused a lot on my writing, but I do readings, absolutely. And I love it. I still love it. I burned out for a little while, because you do. You know, you just burn out. And then I came back to it, and I went, no, I really do enjoy this. And it... So I'm still working as a reader. And we've done... You know, we've done a couple of stabs at doing TV pilots for shows, and I actually have done a couple of readings that have been recorded that are edited on the YouTube channel I have called Psychic Housewives on YouTube.
Right.
So
awesome. Which she has great videos. If you want to know,
she does.
But you know what? The thing is, the cool thing, Lorraine, is that you make it look so easy. You're like the Martha Stewart of the Psychic Housewives.
Martha Stewart of Psychic Housewives.
Martha Stewart that rides a motorcycle and smokes a cigar. But what I'm saying is, that's, you've never been called that before, have you?
You know what? Somebody has said that to me before. I love that you've said that, because I concur. I think that's right. It's like, back in the day, it would have been Betty Crocker, but you know, or Julia Child. But yeah, definitely
exactly.
Martha Stewart. Yeah, it's just
Absolutely.
Hands-on. Hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Lorraine is big into manifestation and, you know, for the new moon, and you've got really cool things you can do for the full moon. So check out her YouTube channel, because it's step by step. She's not messing around. She has great videos, great production, and she's just all around groovy.
Well,
groovy.
You're all groovy. You got
indubitably.
Well, indubitably.
That's my new word for this week, is indubitably.
Yes. Yeah, no, I think, you know, it takes a village. I feel like the Psychic Housewives energy is kind of a village thing, and you guys are a big part of that, you know, because not everybody can hold the energy of just letting people do their thing, having some boundaries, and really empowering each other without giving away your power. You know?
Yeah.
Mhm. Totally.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Well, I'm talking from personal experience, but I find it kind of difficult at times where you have to have the confidence in what you can do, and then you have those moments of doubt, and to not let the doubt win, and you know, and how to say, you know, what is the doubt? And then I look at it going, this is somebody else's doubt, because then I'm thinking, oh gosh, am I feeling somebody else's stuff? You know, so I have to really, you know, to learn how to separate what's good and what's not good, and I'm going to keep babbling until I make sense to myself. So, yeah.
No, I think that's an excellent point, because I have
Thank you, Lorraine.
No, I've never started, I honestly have never started reading going, I'm just going to kick some ass. I always start like, oh, here it goes, guides. I hope it goes well. I mean, I have the confidence in spirit, but I don't always have the confidence in myself, you know?
Right.
And if somebody wants, you can tell when somebody's really looking for a very specific thing, and hopefully you can provide it through spirit, but I, you know, who knows? So.
You know what? I want to thank you so much for being with us, Lorraine. And you're just make us smile and laugh and all that groovy stuff. Any parting words you would like to share with us and with the people who are listening?
Well, thanks to both of you for having me on and having
our pleasure.
Me in your circle and vice versa. Really, it's great. And I guess my parting word is just psychic is normal, and find somebody you can connect with so that you can explore your abilities and feel good about them and feel loved, and spirit will back you on that. So,
totally.
You know, jump off into the deep end of the pool and see what happens.
Totally.
Exactly. And you know what? Liza, Lorraine is our first guest. She's our first guest ever. Like our we should like send her something shiny.
That's awesome. we're gonna send you something shiny. Yes.
Yay! I love shiny.
So, I know you do. So yay! Thank you, Lorraine.
Thank you.
And everyone, you can find Lorraine's book on Amazon because I know it's there. Anywhere
the
else?
Survival manual. Yes.
If you do a search for Lorraine Roe, it's R-O-E, is how you spell her last name. You will see her books and what's available to you. Pick one up or, you know, download it on your Kindle or whatever you have, Nook, Kindle.
Nook, yes.
Yeah, Nook. But once again, thanks, Lorraine. We appreciate it.
Yay.
And come back anytime. You're welcome. Anytime to call in and hang with us.
Oh, yes. Thanks. Thank you. Well, many blessings. I appreciate it. And you guys take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Oh,
wow,
yay,
that was
Lorraine.
Awesome.
That was
I
great.
Know.
Yay.
I love her. I miss her.
Yeah. Well, she was with us, so it was good.
Yes, she was.
And how blessed are we that we had her on our show. I feel so lucky.
Yeah.
But it's coming to that time of evening when we have to go. We actually have to go be moms and wives and make lunches for tomorrow and meditate and, you know, do what we do. So once again, you know, thanks everyone for listening this evening. Special shout out to Angela, who is a big listener tonight. We appreciate her. I've seen
Thank
tons
you,
of smiley
Angela.
Faces. And for everyone else who called in, thanks so much. I'm Missy.
I'm Liza.
And you've been listening to Six Sense Sisters on Blog Talk Radio. Night, Liza. I'll talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
See ya.
You've been listening to Six Sense Sisters on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Missy and Liza. Tune in every Sunday night at 8 o'clock. Have a great week, everyone.